You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted the fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. Wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tool when I blew sleep. Woo! Hit the lottery. Ooh.
Good morning. What is up? Mike McNamara on Valentine's Day Eve. Dan Coats, former senator, now director of National Insurance Intelligence,
2018
testifying right now.
Elections as a potential target for Russian influence operations. From Russia, I'll turn to the Middle East and North Africa.
Open session testimony with all the intel guys sitting there.
Economic fragility and civil and proxy wars in the coming year. Iran will remain the most prominent state sponsor of terrorism and an adversary in the Middle East, especially in Iraq, Syria, and Yemen.
All right, well, they've got a firm grasp of the obvious. Shit, I could have told them that. Yeah. And I'm not even getting paid the kind of cash those guys are. All right, that's, yeah, firm grasp of the obvious, that is called. Okay, programming note. If you care to call the program or use the text line, okay, that capability has been upgraded, right? So you can go to the webpage. If you're listening on your cell phone and you want to call, if you just look at the app, there's a call button, right? If you look at it, yeah, there's that little green thing. Yeah, that means you can call the program on that. Don't abuse it, okay? And if we have time, right, depending on how or what we're doing, whether you want to ask a question, make a comment, or whatever, feel free. You can also text line, but the number's changed. 714-910-4419 is the new number. So, I say again, 714-910-4419. Yeah, did you notice I said that phonetically? Yeah, just for you guys. All right, so that little bit of housekeeping. So yeah, if you want to call the program, you want to say hello, you want to express an opinion, you want to say hi to the gunner, feel free. We'll take your phone call. So we got that going on, and we'll see how that we'll see how that works. So again, the number is 714-910-4419 on your phone, hit the green button. And if you're at your desk, dial the number. Right? You can use the text number works too. So I'm not sure people like to text or email. The majority of stuff we get is email. I think people listen at work with their desktop computer, things like that. But in an effort to upgrade our multimedia capability, that's at your disposal now. I told you that I have friends who's and they're great friends of ours, Pierre and Linda Lamoureux. I met Pierre in 1997. Might have called me in the winter of 1996-1997, and he had gotten my oldest son's name. He had got the captain's name. Captain was pretty tall for his age, and he still is one of the best backward skaters you'll ever see. That's never played any real hockey other than high school. He could. He was a great backward skater. He's a good defenseman. He's a and he obviously he's a tough kid, and he liked physical contact. So Pierre lived in North Dakota. I was in San Diego. He calls me. He got my name from another kid who played on this team, and he was putting together a team of kids born in 1987 that would go up and play in Canada in the summer in these pretty large AAA tournaments. Really good competition, whatnot. So he calls me and says, "Would you be interested?" I said, "Oh yeah. It'd be a great opportunity for John." And so that's how I met Pierre. So ultimately, we wound up moving to Grand Forks. We had such a good experience. San Diego, cost of living too much. You know, you take your kids to the park, you got to stay there with them. And we go to small town America, and it's not like that. And while we're there, I think, you know what? This is, in my mind's eye, this is how my kids grow up. And both my sons play hockey. And so I thought, you know, what a great deal. They go down to the park and play. You know, they have the outdoor rinks in the winter. They'll love it up here. So we moved. And again, it'd be better for us as a family in terms of cost of living. You know, both of us not having to work full time, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, we move up there. So Pierre has 5 kids. All of them have played. He's from just north of Edmonton in Canada, and went to play college hockey at the University of North Dakota. Met his wife, who was a swimmer there, and had stayed there. So anyway, he's a hockey player. All of his kids have played either Division I college hockey at the University of North Dakota, except one who played major junior hockey in Western Canada because he liked to fight. So, and the Canadians like that stuff more than the collegians do. A lot more than the collegians do, let's be real. So anyway, we have, let's see, Patrick is the same age as the 2 girls playing in the Olympics. So they played together from the time they were 8 till they were 15. So, and then because I had multiple kids playing, and he had multiple kids playing, you wind up taking their kids sometime, or your kids going with them sometimes, and so. So the girls are playing in their 3rd Olympics, and their names are Jocelyn Monique Davidson and Monique Lamoureux Morando. So they're twins, you might expect. They're playing on the same line together this time, for the first time they've done that. Jocelyn scored against the Russians. Jocelyn scored 2 goals in 6 seconds. Yeah. I read it. It's an Olympic record. Yeah. An Olympic record for the shortest time between goals scored by any player in Olympic history. How about that? Boom! That's right! So, here's a little audio from it, from NBC.
It's creative, and I'm the subject.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's the commercial about "You're Beautiful." Okay, I'll spare you that because that's the kind of guy that I am. I'm not sure that the Russians are very good. And it's the United States and Canadians, unless somebody pulls an upset, like the Finns with that goalie they have. She's pretty good. All right. So here's the first one.
Jocelyn Lamoureux. Lamoureux for Monique in front. Monique Lamoureux, the shot, rebound, Pelke scores! The shots and the goal!
Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson, number 17 in blue.
Boom!
As Jocelyn Lamoureux, a 2-time silver, comes again and scores! Lamoureux does it again!
Right off the faceoff. She goes forward with it, splits the D, head fake the Russian goalie into Siberia, goes to the backhand, and goes top cheese. That's right. Pandemonium busting out in wherever they are in South Korea. So congratulations to them. Pretty crazy, pretty cool, too, to watch them as they get going. So if you see them, just know that they've got an all-marine radio connection. And we will get them on after the Olympics at some point. And you can hear what it's like for them in their 3rd Olympics as a young athlete, not so young athletes anymore, but as Olympic athletes. So very, very cool. That's going on. We're in Czech News headlines, and then I've been promising to do this, but I haven't. I mean, I haven't done it yet. I posted the Tony Zinni Combat Concepts thing, and then somebody else sent me another one. Mike Marletto sent me another one where he talks about the meth, fighting the meth, which is more the operational art, campaigning. Okay, so over the course of probably the next 4 weeks. On Tuesday, you're going to hear an installment. And the first part is Combat Concepts is his thought at the regimental, as a regimental commander, because he's a colonel just leaving 9th Marines when he gives this. But these are his thoughts about the tactical level, leadership, how you do it, blah, 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 blah. And then in I think he's a major general when he gives the other one. Hard to see his rank in the video because it's a dark room, right? It's a dark room, and we're using I don't even think it's the transparencies. That's how refined we are. We're using the old transparencies. So anyway, you'll hear that today, and then the gunner's going to join us. I just want to give you a teaser on the gunner. Remember I gave him the big lecture about, hey, you know, let me just tell you about getting involved in politics. I enjoyed it so much that I went to Afghanistan. Where there's a little bit more delineation between friends and enemies. In politics, your friends all of a sudden become your enemies, and they were your friends. Like, I never made friends with anybody that was in the Taliban. Yeah. Actually, you know, the game against the Russians, I'm just looking, I froze the video, right? The move is sick, too, on the second goalie. On the second goal, yeah, it's straight up sick. So if you check it out, you'll see this hellacious head fake. She scored in her first Olympics against the Chinese. She scored a goal that was another sick one. She kind of brings it from behind her. Off her inside skate, the defenseman swipes and misses. She goes around the defenseman, and boom. But, yeah, phenomenal athletes, dedicated athletes, and they've been that way forever. Anyway, but I was just looking at the score. And unless I'm mistaken, she scores the first two goals, but... hold on. I will update this right now. I will update this story. I also, in perusing the news, as I do, I want to update you. Remember we had that little dust up in Syria where the United States statement said over 100 pro-Assad fighters were killed as they attempted to mass an attack in a firm base where Americans were? Well, there's news coming out of Russia. Okay, hold on. It was 1-0. It was 1-0 midway through the second period, the United States and Russia, when she scores her first goal. And then 6 seconds later, on that sick move I taught her years ago, I hope she, like, footnotes it. Yeah, Coach McNamara taught me that. Actually, I didn't. I coach more Monique. Jocelyn played forward, and she wanted to be a goalie. She was a sick goalie, but she was too good. So she always played out. But she'd throw on the pads, and she'd play anybody. Yeah, boys, didn't matter. And I'll tell you a funny story, and then I'll complete the Russian story. When they were little, I mean, they were fast, and they're physical girls, too. If you watch them play... Watch when both of them go in the corners for the puck, right? It was awesome coaching. You know, you try to teach kids puck is halfway between you and me. Who does that puck belong to? That belongs to me. The puck is 2/3 of the way to you, between you and me. Who does that puck belong to? Me. The puck is on your stick, and I'm on the ice. Who does that puck belong to? Me. That's. That's how they play hockey, right? That puck belongs to me. We go into the corner, and I'm coming out with my puck. That belongs to me. And so they're physical girls. So anyway, from the time they were like eight when they started playing, maybe seven, but 7, 8 years old, until the time they were 12, you know, you can't check. And, well, I get till you're 11. And then at the time you could check. And so then all these parents of all these other teams around the region in Minnesota, North Dakota, yeah, wait till those girls, wait till they play checking hockey. The first game we played, Monique knocked somebody into Wyoming. And, you know, not dirty, but just skate hard and put her shoulder down and hit him right in the sternum. And they laid the wood, to guys all over the region. It was awesome. And guys would look to headhunt them like, oh, really? That's how it's going to be? They hadn't. They would have none of it. It was, you know, and my wife Susan at the time and, you know, our girls, they used to get the biggest kick out of those girls laying the wood. You know, I can remember Susan laughing, sitting next to me, laughing, going, oh, my God. And I say, what? She goes, those girls are rough, man. She just killed that kid. Oh, my God. It was funny. So, anyway, yeah, All Marine Radio Link on the women's hockey team. Showdown with Canada, who they haven't been able to beat all year. Beat them 1 out of 6 times. They'll play them in the preliminaries. They're both 2-0 in their pool competition, and then they'll cross over, and then they'll play them again. You know, who knows? It should be for the Olympic gold medal unless there's an upset. The Russian thing. Okay, the United States says they killed 100. Turns out, as news seeps out of Russia from families and whatnot, that what they've heard from survivors is that there was plenty of Russians in there in the attack, and the number is closer to 200 than it is to 100. So I'll read you a little bit about that. And also there's a little bit of post-blast assessment done of the Syrian air defenses after the Israelis used the drone incursion as a pretext to work a little bit of their target list. Yeah, so let me tell you how that is. What's interesting about that particular situation relative to the ones that I've been involved in is, you know, you go someplace, you don't live there, right? And you're collecting information, you're targeting, right? And then you'll begin to prosecute targets. Okay. The Israelis, they're not in a war, okay? But they're in a state of war constantly. And they live there. So on a daily basis, they go and with their ISR assets, their surveillance reconnaissance assets that fly around and listen and things like that, you slowly see places where they are fortifying. And Will Cosentini was talking about it yesterday. All the missile batteries that are located in urban areas, next to schools, all that kind of stuff. Inviting, right, you know, when they light them off and Israel retaliates against them, then they're going to play the, oh, woe is us, you're killing civilians, blah, 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 blah. And then people are going to land on Israel. But, you know, Israel has none of that. So anyway, Israel, on a daily basis, they update target list, right? And so your target list is, it's a priority. This is number one, this is number two, this is number three, this is number four. So you have this list, and you have a targeting board, and they meet to consider new nominations to it, deletions from it, yada, 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 yada. That's how people wind up on lists. That's how they get killed. Oh, this guy's on this list. You need permission to kill him. This guy's on this list. You don't need any permission. Just kill him or capture him, one of the two. So, but you don't, yeah, you don't, this guy, just smoke him. This guy, we need permission. So anyway, so that's how that works. So what happens is this drone sets foot inside of Israel and they begin not to simply retaliate for the drone and get the command and control, which is what the official Israeli public affairs people said, but there's a whole list of targets that they're going to prosecute, okay, and cross off the map. Pew, pew, pew. and they've been developing this. Hey, when this happens, here's our response. You guys will fly against this target. You guys are this. The second wave is going to go after this. And so we're going to dismantle this thing that they've been creating. Okay? And that's how you do it. So, and evidently, it was Vladimir Putin made a phone call to Benjamin Netanyahu. And they had a conversation, I guess, which ended it. So, Putin, interestingly enough, in the riding out of Israel, has had a foot in both camps. And this is going to force him to choose one. And so they've, you know, Putin has played this triangle of Iran, Syria, and Israel, and he's essentially back-channeled information to Israel, according to the report. And so anyway, interesting stuff going on. And the showdown between Iran and Israel is going to be, I don't know the Israelis would wait for that. And that's what I was talking yesterday about. We need to put Iran in a box, all right? They need their pants pulled down, and they need to get sent back to Iran. So, but as Will set out, politically, we're not in a position to do that. Militarily, we'd love to do it. And again, not fight their proxies, not fight Hezbollah or whatever. Leave that to the Israelis. But fight the Iranians and put an ass-whooping on them and let them know that they're a third-rate bullshit country. And that we're not, when something happens, we're not going after the proxy and getting bogged down in Iraq or in Syria. We're coming after them. Yeah, let's do it. I'm up for it. I'm fired up. Anyway, so with all of that said this morning, so administrative notes done, Olympic coverage done, and yeah, the goal is sick. Okay. So the first one, I'll play it again. The first one, Jocelyn comes off the far wall, right? Coming down the left side. Goal's on your right as you're looking at your TV monitor. She's coming down the left side. She passes to her sister who's coming down the right side. Okay? And then she goes to the back post, which is a place where goal scorers make a lot of money.
For Jocelyn Lamoureux. Lamoureux for Monique. In
Monique shoots. Rebound. Scores!
Yes! And a goal!
Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson, number 17 in blue, who finds the back of the net.
We know her as Jocelyn. Okay, off the faceoff. She goes forward, leaves the centerman behind, splits the 2D, and here you go.
As Jocelyn Lamoureux, a two-time silver, comes again and scores! Lamoureux does it again! 3-0, Team USA!
What a move by her, too. The fake where she goes to shoot there with the leg kick. Great deception goes to her backhand.
The move is sick. All right? She's a right-handed shot, right? So she's coming down. She's coming down after she blows through the D. She's coming down alone. And she gives this head and shoulder fake like she's going to take this wrist shot to the far side of the net, to the right side of the net. And then she pulls it, cuts to the left, backhand, nothing but net. All right, so national anthem, we'll get this thing going. Good morning to you. right, this is going to surprise absolutely nobody, but this is dedicated to our Olympic athletes. I think it's a matter of great national pride to see, you know, our athletes go and whoop it on. I've enjoyed it since I was a little kid. Used to look forward to the Olympics. I cried when the men's basketball team lost, got cheated by the Russians, shocker, in 1972, and I applaud that they've never picked up that silver medal, by the way. And so, anyway, this is dedicated to them this morning. Good luck. Kick their ass. It's the way we love it. Do it right. Do it with class. But win.
America, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
This is a story about individuals' heroic actions, but it's about leadership. It's about perseverance, about resilience. They could have quit. They could have given up. I mean, there weren't too many good days here. So I think it's important for all of us.
Okay, this is the Commandant talking about Guadalcanal. But the reason I want you to hear it is this is going out to the Olympians at the end when he says, we got to win. We got to win. I love that shit.
Remember where we came from and who we are and why we're here on our birthday, which is what we're supposed to do. Remember the past. Honor those that are no longer with us. Think about what's going on today. And get ready for tomorrow. We've got a great Marine Corps. We've got great Marines. Our families support us. The nation supports us. We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
You're listening to All Marine Radio. That's awesome. I got to shorten that down. I'll shorten that down, and you'll hear it tomorrow. And every day, we got to do what these Marines did. We gotta win. We gotta win. Americans, man, that's how we do it. All right, we're going to check the weather here. Currently, it's cloudy and partly cloudy in 38 in Quantico. Cloudy at 48 at Camp Lejeune. 41 degrees where the Gunner's doing politics. And we'll, he's genuinely disturbed. He doesn't like liars. And you heard him talk about he's been fighting bullies his whole life? Trust me. I've done it with him. Fighting is not the right word for it. It's more annihilating him. He's a good dude, man. Big Timber, Montana. Warmed up there. Sunny in 28. North central part of the country is cold. Chicago, 9 straight days of snow. 29 Palms, sunny and 42. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 46. Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 52 with storm warnings there. Mars has warmed up. Dark, cloudy and 63. At the home of All Marine Radio, it's 53 degrees. Looking for a high of only 64 degrees with clouds. Pfft, what is that? And then tomorrow, clouds and 66. Thursday, mostly sunny, 67. What is this garbage in the 60s? Sunny and 73 on Friday, and on Saturday, sunny and 72. All right, that's the start of this program today. And we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. You'll hear General Zinni. You'll hear Mike Musselman. Feel free if you want to call and participate. New phone number, 714-910-4419. If you ever want to participate in the program, just bust us off a call. As I said, that you can text that number as well. That's the text line, and it's changed. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. Again, the stuff out of Syria, the post-blast analysis, the BDA as it's known, the battle damage assessment. interesting stuff. So we'll check that out when we come back. More of All Marine Radio. Coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the SOF community should be aware of.
The Global SOF Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Peace up, A-Town.
So we're at a wedding. And this song comes on. The lieutenant's inebriated. This is before he was a lieutenant. And he's moderately amusing when he's inebriated. So this song comes on. Right? And I think I'm dancing with Colleen. He comes rolling out with his moves for this song. Oh my god, I almost laughed my ass off. And then he looks at me like, he looks me straight in the eye and says, bro, I've got some serious moves. Bro, I've got some serious moves. Oh, man. I looked at him. I said, you know what? You're a mess. And not just as a drunk, as a human being. Get away from me. Usher this morning. Yeah, anyway, funny. All right, check the news. If you're checking the news these days, I don't care if you look Marine Corps Times, Early Bird, Stars and Stripes, and and Task and Purpose, which are the major, where you find the majority of Marine news. There's a couple stories that dominate, and then I want to, and then I'll talk about the Russians before I do anything else. Okay. One is the budget, and number two is, the Niger, however you call it. Do you remember that, that little ambush that happened? That investigation is almost complete. And a draft, I guess has been circulated and there's been stuff leaked. All right. So, anyway, so that's in the news as well. So, we'll talk about, we can talk about that a little bit later. But, but before we do any of that, I want to talk about, an article in an Israeli publication called Herat. And the headline is this: hundreds of pro-Assad mercenaries and Russian troops killed by U.S. strikes in Syria this month. Putin's year-long incursion into Syria is deeply unpopular in Russia, and it has been documented that the Russian government underreports the official death toll of Russians in Syria for political reasons. Russia's private army in Syria is going to stay in business despite Putin announcing troop withdrawals. Israel believes the Syria strikes took out nearly half of Assad's air defenses. Israel down jet means one thing to Assad, another to the opposition. Russian fighters were among those killed when U.S.-led coalition forces clashed with pro-government forces in Syria last month. Former associates of the dead said on Monday, however, the majority of casualties were hired mercenaries from shadowy paramilitary company by the name of Wagner. A U.S. official has said more than 100 fighters aligned with the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad died when coalition forces and local coalition-backed forces thwarted a large attack overnight on February 7th. However, other local reports place the death toll as high as 200. Yikes. Russia's defense ministry, which supports Assad's forces in the Syrian civil war, said at the time that pro-government militias involved in the incident had been carrying out reconnaissance and no Russian service members had been in the area. But at least two Russian men fighting informally with pro-government forces were killed in the incident in the Deir al-Zor province, there, which is on the western side of Syria. Putin's year-long incursion into Syria is deeply unpopular domestically. One of the dead's name is Vladimir Loganov, a Cossack from Russia's Kaliningrad enclave. Maxim Buga, a leader of the Cossack community there, said Loganov had been killed around February 7th, along with dozens of other Russian fighters. The other man killed is named Kirill Anininev, described as a radical Russian nationalist. Alexander Averin, a spokesman for the national party he was linked to, told Reuters Anininev had been killed in the shelling and the same fighting on February 7th. Grigory Yavlinsky, a veteran liberal politician who is running for president in elections next month, called on President Vladimir Putin to disclose how many Russians had been killed in Syria and under what circumstances. Quote, if there was large-scale loss of life of Russian citizens, the relevant officials, including the commander-in-chief of our armed forces, are obliged to tell the country about it and decide who carries responsibility for this. Yavlinsky said in a statement released by Yabokolo Party. So, yeah, that little dust-up, that was a no-shit dust-up, man. When you kill 200 and a lot of them are Russians, that's a no-shitter, sports fan. The next story in terms of the post-blast analysis. And I'll read you another little update on that from Reuters, from Bloomberg Politics. Israel believes Syria's strikes took out nearly half of Assad's air defenses. As Syria and Iran threaten Israel, America signals its ally that it's on its own. I don't believe that. At first, Israel and Iran are engaged in a head-to-head competition. In the first Israel-Iran head-to-head competition, confrontation in Syria from the Israeli army, the drone was allowed to cross into Israel to prove Iranian aggression. So that's what I said. I would venture to say that this probably isn't the first time the Iranians have flown this. And that what happened was the Israelis knew what they were going to do, because they've been tracking them. And they had the strike teed up. And that thing crossed in, and they ambushed it with a helicopter and shot it out of the sky. And then, because when you look at the timeline, the drone takes off at 04. It crosses into Israeli airspace at 04:30. I want to say it's blown out of the sky between 04:30 and 5. And the strikes hit in Syria at like 5:15. Yeah, you can't fuel them. If it's impromptu, you can't get it done that fast. Unless you have the pilots on, and you're not going to strike multiple targets. You're going to have the strip alert guys. And you can't get them fueled. You can't get the ordnance on them that fast. So that certainly makes sense. In Saturday's exchange of fire, Syria scored a rare success, downing an Israeli F-16 fighter jet with an anti-aircraft missile, apparently taking advantage of a vulnerability in the way the crew flew the jet. Israel, however, destroyed nearly half of President Assad's air defenses, according to military estimates. So, interesting stuff. The F-16 was one of eight of the same model that took part in an attack on an Iranian command trailer, right? Notice Iranian, not Syrian, at the T-4 base near the city of Palmyra, deep inside Syria. It was from that trailer the members of the Quds force. Now, the Quds were some of the elite, probably the elite force of the Iranian military. They were advisors in Iraq while we were there, and so they were no stranger to each other. Launched the drone that penetrated Israeli airspace on Saturday and which was intercepted over the Beit Shean Valley. Israeli army sources said that Israel had tracked the aircraft in the course of its entire flight from the Palmyra area through northern Jordan until it crossed into Israel. And again, I would tell you that Israel probably allowed this to happen maybe once before and then tracked where it was coming from and teed up the strike and said the next time that thing takes off, we'll watch it. And then we're going to hit all of these line numbers on this. And so we're not just going to take down that trailer. We're going to take down as much of his air defense. And so, look, if you want to do this dance, you don't have any recourse because we will annihilate you, much like Americans do. Once you can't contest the skies, you're dead. You are dead meat. And so, mastery of the skies is a big, 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 big deal. So interesting stuff coming out of Syria in terms of, the post-blast analysis and the BDA. So anyway, and then one more article about it real quick. And this is from Bloomberg. And they've got a good little map. I'll probably put it up with the post. U.S. forces killed scores of Russian mercenaries in Syria last week in what may be the deadliest clash between citizens of the former foes since the Cold War, according to one U.S. official and three Russians familiar with the matter. more than 200 contracted soldiers, mostly Russians, fighting on behalf of Syrian leader Assad, died in a failed attack on a base held by U.S. and mainly Kurdish forces in the oil-rich Deir Ezor region, two of the Russians said. The U.S. official put the death toll at about 100, with 200 to 300 injured. Wow. That's a big deal. Russian assault may have been a rogue operation, underscoring the complexity of the conflict that started as a domestic crackdown, only to morph into a proxy war involving Islamic extremists, stateless Kurds, and regional powers, Iran, Turkey, and now Israel. Russia's military said it had nothing to do with the attack. Nothing to see here. Got my hands in my pockets. Move along. And the U.S. accepted that claim. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis called the whole thing perplexing, but provided no further details. Yeah. It's not perplexing. It's not perplexing to him. He just doesn't want to say. What's perplexing is why they did it. You know? Are you stupid? Vladimir Putin spokesman Dmitry Peskov declined to comment on reports of Russian casualties, saying the Kremlin only tracks data on the country's armed forces. Putin talked with U.S. President Donald Trump by phone on Monday, but the military action in Syria wasn't discussed, he said. Quote, this is a big scandal and a reason for an acute international crisis, said Vladimir Frolov, a former Russian diplomat and lawmaker who's now an independent political analyst. But Russia will pretend nothing happened. Exactly. Nothing to see here, boys. Nothing to see here. Unbelievable. How long can you get away with that shit? What? Doping Olympics? Hole in the wall? Swapping out pre-samples for current samples? What are you talking about? Who's saying that? Oh, the Russian guy who ran the lab during the Olympics? He's lying. He's lying. Last week's offensive began around 8 kilometers or 5 miles east of the Euphrates River, which is the line of deconfliction, late on February 7th when pro-Assad forces fired rounds in advance in a battalion-sized formation supported by artillery, tanks, multiple rocket launch systems, and mortars, said Colonel Thomas Veal, a spokesman for the U.S. military. In a statement, the U.S., this is all, can you imagine how fired up the guy they were to have this go on? The U.S., which has advisors stationed at the base alongside Syrian Democratic Force troops, responded with aircraft and artillery fire. Holy shit. Coalition officials were in regular communications with Russian counterparts before, during, and after the thwarted, unprovoked attack, Veal said. No fatalities were reported on the coalition side, and enemy vehicles and personnel who turned around and headed back west were not engaged. Why? What, are we being nice? Come on. Highway to hell, their asses. You cross the line of departure, you can't hide now. What? You know what? We do this shit. What, are we nice guys now? We're nice, right? No better friend, no worse enemy. When you form up in battalion and you shoot artillery at us and then you advance on us, guess what you just did? You just kicked no better friend to the curb and now you're going to get no worse enemy. Oh, man. I don't like that, I gotta tell you. I don't like it one bit. Pretty interesting little article on Reuters, though. It's not clear who is paying the Russian contingent. Whether it was Russia directly, Syria, Iran, or a third party. Reports in Russian media have said Wagner, a shadowy organization known as Russia's answer to Blackwater, was hired by Assad or his allies to guard Syrian energy assets in exchange for oil concessions. Quote, no one wants to start a world war over a volunteer mercenary who wasn't sent by the state and was hit by the Americans, said Vitaly Numkin, a senior advisor to Russia's government in Syria. Yuri Barman, a Middle East analyst at the Russian International Affairs Council, a think tank set up by the Kremlin, said Russia supports Assad's efforts to reclaim the crucial eastern region to help fund his national reconstruction and reconciliation plan, which the U.S. opposes. Russia signed a roadmap agreement with Assad's government last month to assist in rebuilding the nation's electricity network. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, yeah, got a little bit of an ass whooping laid on him. Weather update from Montana. It's a little bit windy up there, too. Actually, he says it's windy as hell. Montana man, facing the elements. Good luck, bro. Gunners fighting political problems. And the Russians are getting their ass handed to them in Syria. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, what time is it? It's 8 o'clock. Jeez Louise. I haven't even got to the news headlines, and Zinni's supposed to come on. Let me, hold on. I got to hear the Nella thing one more time. But I got to hear just the last part.
To come in, we're about building, coming soon here, 20 airplanes a year, F-35.
This is a story about executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions.
Here it comes.
And win. You got to win.
And just boom. I love that shit. All right, we'll take a break. You're either going to hear more news headlines or Zinni. You'd probably rather hear Zinni. I think you need to hear Zinni. And I'm going to put my little comments into it because I could recite this shit. I've listened to it so many times. It's so good on so many different levels. And as you have different experiences, you hear it differently, which is interesting. So it's something like that. Anyway, we'll take a quick break, and you're going to hear Zinni, and I'll comment on Zinni. We can talk about the budget tomorrow. We can talk about, the Niger ambush. You know what they say? More scrutiny on U.S. missions. Yeah, somebody's got to supervise them. Yeah, somebody's got to supervise these guys, because there's people out there that want to make Americans dead, and now that spread to Africa. Sad part is we didn't pick it up quick enough, and there's four United States soldiers dead. Again, and our thoughts and prayers go out to their family, and you're heartbreaking still. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. You're gonna hear Tony Zinni, Combat Concepts, Part 1. And I'll tell you what, it's in addition to being awesome, it's as funny as hell. And then you're going to hear him in a few weeks, you'll hear him as a general. And he's not so funny anymore. I need to get him back on and ask him, like, why did you tone down the comedy? Right? Why? I mean, I love the comedy routine. And he told me later, he's like, yeah, that's my Ginzo from Philly shtick. That's me out spreading the gospel according to Zinni. You know, being an evangelist, preaching, trying to get people to convert, to buy in, to try it. Can't be that guy all the time. Yeah, he's U.S. envoy to the Middle East, too, by the way. So he can play the range of characters. All right. And I want to say something about John Kelly, too. I need to do that. So anyway, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up.
This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.